From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
In every region, people continue to face religious-based violence, religious-based discrimination, both from governments and their fellow citizens. Today, governments around the world continue to target individuals, shutter places of worship, forcibly displace communities, and imprison people because of their religious beliefs.
That was Secretary of State Antony Blinken earlier today releasing the Biden administration's 2023 report on international religious freedom. I'm Tony Perkins. Welcome to this edition of Washington Watch. Now, there's a reason that religious freedom is imperiled around the world. It is no longer a priority under the Biden administration. In the place of the fundamental human right of religious freedom are the manufactured rights of abortion and LGBTism being pushed by this administration. Well, speaking of religious persecution, we will get an update from Britt Hancock of Mountain Gateway Ministries regarding the 11 pastors in Nicaragua that have been imprisoned for over 6 months by the Nicaraguan government. And earlier today, the U.S. Supreme Court announced that the court was sidestepping one of the most important free speech cases ever to reach the court. In the 6-3 opinion, the court said the plaintiffs did not have standing to challenge the Biden administration's coercive actions towards social media platforms designed to suppress controversial social media posts on topics like COVID-19 and election integrity. We're going to talk with one of the plaintiffs in the case, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry. Joins us. And speaking of the courts, what was once common in America's classrooms, well, once again, it's fodder for courtrooms. The ACLU and other anti-Christian organizations are suing the state of Louisiana for a new law that requires schools to display the Ten Commandments. We'll hear what Governor Landry thinks of the effort to cancel the Ten Commandments in just a moment. And once again, the military is the playground for the Biden administration's destructive and perverted priorities.
It's unconscionable what they're doing to the Department of Defense. It is unconscionable that they've turned it into a woke social engineering experiment that is more concerned about transgender surgeries and pushing a radical agenda than ensuring that we have the military that is necessary to defend the United States of America. This legislation is designed specifically to refocus our military on doing its job, exactly what the American people want us to do.
That was Texas Congressman Chip Roy on the House floor earlier today. He'll join us later to discuss the push to force young women to register for the draft and the announcement by President Biden in the last week of their Pride Month that he is pardoning members of the military going back all the way to the 1950s for violating the law, violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice by engaging in sodomy. Meanwhile, those who were drummed out for not getting a COVID vaccine, well, they can just stand by. And election results from last night reveal that what political consultants claim are losing issues for Republican candidates are only losing issues if you abandon them or fail to prioritize them. FRC Action's Matt Carpenter will join me to explain. Have you gotten the new Stand Firm app? You can find it at the App Store. Lots of resources there for you on the Stand Firm app, so check it out. You can download it, Stand Firm, in the App Store. Well, as is evident by any newscast, or certainly as you listen to Washington Watch, biblical truth is under attack in our culture, in our country, and you and I have a responsibility to stand up for the Christian faith, to defend the faith. And right now, you can take advantage of FRC's $2.5 million challenge match, and that way, your contribution, your partnering with FRC will have double the impact if you do it before June the 30th. So to join us in defending the faith, text the word defend to 67742. That's defend to 67742. Or you can call one of our Defending the Faith team members at 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. They're standing by to take your call. When Louisiana became the first state in the nation to require public school classrooms to display the Ten Commandments last week, supporters of this legislation said they were ready for any lawsuits coming as a result. Well, there's a coalition of groups that include the ACLU and the Freedom From Religion Foundation that have filed suit challenging this law, claiming that it violates the First Amendment. Well, Republicans in Louisiana anticipated such a lawsuit and have solid legal ground for believing they will prevail. Joining me now to discuss this is Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry, who last week signed this bill into law. Governor Landry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony. Always great to be with you and everyone watching and listening.
Well, congratulations. You led Louisiana on several fronts in your first session as governor. You had a special bill signing last week in Louisiana with a bunch of school kids there and others that were interested in this legislation. Why is this measure so important to you?
Look, I think it's really important. I mean, the legislature passed it overwhelmingly. I want to thank Representative Dodie Hart and the entire legislature for passing this, along with another dozen or so measures to improve education here in Louisiana. But I think it's important because it helps on the moral foundational of what our kids learn about in school. I mean, again, you know, I can't believe that the Ten Commandments is a bad way to live your life, Tony. But if you pick up any paper or you open up the internet, it seems that the mainstream media just has their hair on fire with this piece of legislation. And I find it really just concerning to me that they would spend so much time trying to demonize us for passing such a common sense piece of legislation. It just says, look, if a school would like to, they can display the Ten Commandments.
Well, Governor, when you and I were back in school a number of years ago, it was common to have the Ten Commandments. And, you know, those they were pushed out. We first pushed out prayer, then the Bible, and then in the 80s, the Ten Commandments. When you were sworn into office in January, you immediately had a special session in Louisiana dealing with crime. I mean, you have made the point that the Ten Commandments are the basis for law and order. Wouldn't it be better if we could catch kids early and teach them right from wrong so we don't have to imprison them later because of violent crimes that are sweeping across our country?
Exactly, Tony. Look, I did so many interviews on this, and you're making the point that I've consistently made. I don't understand how posting the Ten Commandments, which are tenets, which are laws, which are God's laws, things like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and having children just see them, right, is in any way oppressive or placing some sort of religious oppression on them. I mean, these are basic moral conducts that we want children to grow up as adults and understand right from wrong. And the Ten Commandments is the basis for understanding right from wrong. It has a lot of historical context. I think that when you look at the way that the legislature drafted the law, we feel like we're standing on solid legal grounds. I think the court got it wrong in the 1940s when they created this metaphor of separation of church and state. And look, we look forward to defending the law.
Well, you've also made the point that the Ten Commandments, not only the foundation for morality, for right and wrong, but it's the foundation for law itself as we see common law emerging from that. You are pretty confident that Louisiana will prevail against these alphabet soup organizations that are coming against Louisiana.
I do, because I think that more and more people around this country are realizing that you can't substitute big G, which is God, for little G, which is government, which is what the government really wants us to do. And at the end of the day, that the more that we go back to the foundation of what this country was created on, which are those Judeo-Christian principles, and as long as when we adhere to those principles and recognize those and espouse to those, that the country becomes more safe, less divided, and more prosperous.
Governor Landry, we talked about the fact that in the 80s is when the Ten Commandments were kicked out of our schools and public spaces. Things have changed, in large part because conservatives, Christians, have gotten involved in the political process. Your evidence of that, Louisiana, our home state, changed tremendously from when I was elected 25 years ago. But it's because of engagement, involvement, education, and good people running for office. And so this is really what we're seeing here is the fruit of many people being involved in restoring the foundation to this nation.
Yeah, I think people of all faiths and people of strong faith for a long time have basically said, look, I don't want to get involved in politics. I don't want to get involved in government. I just want to go out there, work, make a living, take care of my family, raise my children to be good, productive citizens. And what they're realizing is that while they did that, there was an undercurrent of people that was sowing chaos and dividing this nation, certainly taking God out of America. And those people have woken up and said, no, wait a minute. I don't want that anymore. That's not the country that I grew up in. That's not the state that I grew up in. And so they're running for office and they're instilling the values and the culture that the majority of the people in their states aspire to. And that's what I think you're seeing here in Louisiana.
Well, it's a breath of fresh air, and I am so grateful to see Louisiana leading once again on some of these key issues. I want to switch topics, Governor Landry. Earlier today, the Supreme Court sided with the Biden administration, sidestepping a lawsuit that you and Missouri, the state of Missouri, and others brought against the Biden administration for coercing social media companies to suppress the free speech of citizens. They essentially sidestepping and saying the states do not have standing to challenge it. Your reaction?
Yeah, Tony, I've spent many times on this very show talking to you about what I viewed as the most important First Amendment case this century. And I think that this is it. And I think that the court just did a complete disservice to the country, to the citizens, and to the First Amendment by sidestepping. And I think that you see it in the dissent of Alito and Thomas. And look, what this does is this gives the government a green light to censor American speech. And as usual, the court, when it's faced with these tough decisions, takes this off-ramp of standing, which I think is really unexcusable. It's basically malpractice on the court's standpoint, especially on something as sensitive as the First Amendment. I don't understand how the state of Louisiana cannot speak for its citizens when the federal government, when we look at the breadth of the federal government, is out there actively participating in censoring or encouraging the social platforms to censor American speech. And then they say, well, there's no causation. We can't see where the harm became. Because the reason they can't see it is because of the breadth of it. But yet it was clearly in front of them, but they clearly did not want to wade into this matter. I would tell you that this is not the end. We're going to see it again. Unfortunately, it could be in a more egregious fashion where really at the end of the day, we're censoring American speech. And it's troubling.
Governor, up against a break, but very quickly, if Louisiana, Missouri doesn't have standing, who would have standing to challenge this?
That's exactly what I said. I mean, the court is saying is they want somebody like Tony Perkins to come to them and say, this is where the government censored my speech. The problem is that the average American doesn't have the ability to understand how extensive that censoring is being and who the social media platforms are doing that. They're out there just trying to make a living and keep the country afloat.
Right.
And so that's what attorney generals and estates are there for. And that's the most disappointing part about this ruling. I will tell you this. I think Congress should act.
Yes.
Congress can go out there and create the standing and tell the court, no, the attorney generals shall have standing.
All right, Governor Landry, thanks for staying in the fight. Great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, stick with us. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on the other side of the break.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Wednesday. All right, as I said, biblical truth is under attack in our culture, and we must defend the Christian faith. I mean, you see that. Just going back to what used to be normal, Ten Commandments in classrooms, I know many of you can remember that. I can remember my third grade teacher had a Bible on her desk, and she would occasionally, when he had downtime, she would pull it out and read from it. And when, this is a public school. When it was time to go to lunch, she would line everybody up and ask, who wants to pray? This was in a public school. Of course, this was even after the courts kicked prayer out because you can't take the faith out of the people. She was about to retire, but she still lived out her faith. That was normal. Now you can't even have the Ten Commandments. You put the Ten Commandments in the classroom, and you have all of these organizations crawling out from underneath their rocks to sue. We've got to defend the faith. So much is hinging on our commitment to standing for truth. And I want to invite you to join FRC and take advantage of the challenge match. What you give will be doubled if you give before June the 30th. So to join us, text Defend the Faith to 67742 or call one of our team members. Standing by at 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Well, multiple states held primary elections yesterday with the results that included voters in South Carolina, listen up, rejecting state senators who blocked pro-life legislation. And they're sounding the alarm in New York, where anti-Semitic comments from Congressman Jamal Bowman were among the reasons leading to the first electoral defeat from a member of the squad. Well, joining me now to discuss this and other results from yesterday is FRC Action Director Matt Carpenter. Matt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Great to be here, Tony. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, we've been told here since 2022 that standing for life is a liability. That's not what we saw in South Carolina.
No, Tony, you mentioned the importance of defending the faith. And I would say if you were on the pro-abortion side or you were an anti-Semite last night, you had a bad night from the election results that we saw. Last night in South Carolina's Senate runoff election was actually the third pro-choice, pro-abortion Republican in the South Carolina Senate to go down. A few of them had filibustered a legislation that would have protected unborn life in South Carolina from the moment of conception. And they went down to pro-life challengers, all three of them, one of whom was in the House, the South Carolina House, and actually voted for that legislation on the House side. So South Carolina Republican primary voters sending a very clear signal last night that they're not going to put up with pro-abortion activists.
So let's talk. Let's get into that a little bit, because the point that we've been making, for instance, in the party platform that's going to be discussed here in just a couple of weeks in Wisconsin, there's an effort afoot to remove or weaken the pro-life plank. And by the way, folks, I need your help on that. Text LIFE to 67742 so you can help us weigh in with your delegates to the platform. That is from your state. What we have said all along is that pro-lifers work for candidates and for movements that reflect their values. Mm-hmm. That's what happened in South Carolina. Pro-lifers turned out for these challengers against Republicans who may have been right on economic issues, but they were wrong on this issue.
That's exactly right, Tony. Pro-lifers showed up. There are pro-life organizations on the ground knocking on doors, getting out the vote. They won close elections, right? And I'm sure you remember when you were running, a ground game can make all the difference there. You have door knockers out there spreading the pro-life message, getting pro-lifers out to vote. That made the difference in close elections. One of the pro-abortion Republicans went down by a 65-point margin. So I don't know if she did something above and beyond, but it's clear, I think, the Republican base wants that pro-life contrast. They want their voices represented in support of life with their representatives.
I mean, what we've seen, and I think Barack Obama was the first one to understand this and carry this out on the national level, that in today's political world that our nation is so divided, the parties very divergent in their views on these issues, that every election is a base election. It's about the intensity. And that's actually a term that's used by pollsters to show where's the intensity, the enthusiasm level. And when there's clarity on the issues, like there was in South Carolina, that creates that intensity for people to engage, not just go and vote, but to knock on doors, make phone calls, and talk to their friends.
Yeah, exactly right. You have to have that contrast. As you point out, in 2012, we saw that split. Barack Obama capitalized on an active Democratic base to deliver majorities in Congress for him, to win re-election. And so I think conservatives, Republicans need to take that lesson to heart as well and look at the pro-life issue as a motivating factor for their base.
Not to mention it's the right position.
Absolutely.
What else did we see last night?
Yeah, so we had primary elections in New York as well. All eyes were on Bronx and Westchester County, New York, where New York's 16th congressional district had a Democratic primary. Two-term squad member Jamal Bowman went down in defeat, and generally incumbents have a 94%, 95% win rate. They almost never lose, and if they do lose, it's a close election. Well, Bowman went down by almost 20 points. He went down by 17 points. That is a sea change there. So in dark blue metropolitan New York, Democrat voters sending a strong message to, I think, their party, saying we're fed up with pro-Hamas, anti-Semitic members representing us. So it was good to see Jamal Bowman, I think, send that message and go down in defeat. Hopefully others in the squad take note.
Is that being noticed nationally, that the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel message is a liability for Democrats?
It is. We saw that crop up also with Summer Lee in a Pittsburgh area district in western PA. She ended up winning by a very close margin, but that issue also cropped up there. I imagine it'll play out elsewhere as well.
And also in Colorado, Lauren Boebert won her primary.
That's right.
What else should we be watching for next? What's on the horizon?
So end of July, you've got Arizona primaries. Tomorrow, you have the presidential debate, and then the RNC convention shortly thereafter. So there's a lot coming up in the next few weeks on the election side and on the party side as well for your audience to pay attention to.
Well, and it's a reminder to make sure you're registered to vote.
That's right.
And there's resources available for those that will be voting at frcaction.org, right?
That's right. And we have voter guides. We'll have our legislative scorecard there, and we'll have our party platform comparison after the parties convene and assign their platforms.
And hopefully we'll have some very stark contrast to make between the two parties.
That's right.
Matt Carpenter, thanks for stopping in.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
And folks, speaking of that platform, again, we really need your help. I'll be there as a delegate on the platform committee. But there is an effort to kind of basically shut everybody out. Very disturbing what we see happening, because I think there's a major overhaul afoot as it comes pertains to the platform. So help us. Text the word LIFE to 67742. Help us defend the sanctity of life, the family, and religious freedom. So help us. We need your help. Text LIFE to 67742. All right, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Be sure and check it out. Lots of resources there for you. And if you've not yet downloaded the Stand Firm app, go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. You can not only watch Washington Watch, but you'll be able to get the Stand, Washington Stand, as well as Stand on the Word each day right there on your app. Well, throughout this year on Washington Watch, I've discussed the 11 pastors and ministry leaders wrongfully jailed in Nicaragua on sham charges after they led Christian revivals that reached more than a million people. Now, you may remember that those pastors received sentences ranging from 12 to 15 years in prison and were assessed fines of $80 million per person. Joining me now in studio with an update is Britt Hancock, missionary to Nicaragua with the ministry Mountain Gateway. Britt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much. It's a blessing to be here.
Well, I've been tracking you and I stay in touch, and so you text me various updates and we're able to communicate. But give our viewers and listeners kind of what's been happening the last couple of months since you were last on the program.
Yes. Thank you, brother. Congress continues to take action. Our coalition is building. I think more and more members are coming on. Representative Roger Williams' office, we met with his office today, so we hope that he'll also engage. We have two resolutions, one in the House and one in the Senate, that condemn Nicaragua and their actions in our case. We need those to pass. The Organization for American States is active. They've actually they've issued precautionary measures for the prisoners in favor of the families. And the UN, I think, is getting involved from a human rights standpoint. So those things are happy. You know, those things help us pressurize the government of Nicaragua. We thought we had them released, the prisoners, but for whatever reason, that hasn't happened yet. We're hopeful, praying, fasting and trying to get as many people as we can to call their congressmen, because that really does help motivate them when they hear from their constituents.
What is fresh in front of members of Congress they will move on? And this is a compelling story. 11 pastors, I think two attorneys.
Yes.
That are in prison, still in prison. Have you had communication with them to see how they're doing?
Zero communication, so we don't have any direct verified proof of life. As far as we know, they've still not been allowed to see any of their family members. It's like they're sealed away, you know. And so it's really not a good situation. And people have asked me like multiple times, what's your experience been like here in Washington? And I do know that we have our challenges and we're fighting the good fight. I hear your efforts and so many others. But we still have separation of powers and due process of law is not dead. And the reason that I'm sitting here is because we're dealing with a country that's down the road in communism and Marxist ideology. No due process of law, no separation of powers. And so I'm motivated, you know, for these kinds of issues. And just in a broader way for your audience, thank all of you for responding to all these issues and all these things, because if you don't resist, evil takes over.
That's right. It loves a vacuum. It'll fill it. How can people find out more and stay abreast? And I know you've got a prayer effort going on for these 11 pastors and these two attorneys. Where can people find out more?
Yes, you can go on our website, mountaingateway.org. There's links there to sign up for the prayer. Our prayer branch, and you'll get updates, and you can also click the link for Nicaragua updates, and we'll get you in the loop.
Now, you and I believe your son, charges were filed against you, so you can't go back to Nicaragua.
We can't. Nicaragua weaponized Interpol through the use of red diffusion notices and put it out to a bunch of countries, and multiple countries have responded, or they did in February, that they would arrest us if we come there and extradite us to Nicaragua. So we know of six countries besides Nicaragua that have said, okay, we'll arrest them if they come here. And one of those most problematic for us is Mexico, because we have a big ministry footprint there. We have two children's homes. We've rescued over 2,000 children from human trafficking in the last 20 years. We're in probably 100 villages doing small rural village work, you know, great commission work and drug rehab work. It's like not convenient for us. And that's a concern for us. You know, nobody in my family really should leave the United States. The State Department told us until we can get some of this unwound. So it's a problem. But the tip of our spear right now is our people that are in prison. And then we'll deal with some of these
But just to go very quickly, we just got about 45 seconds left. This goes back to the success of the gospel going out and that being intimidating to the Nicaraguan government.
Correct. In 2023, as you stated, we had over 1 million people come to 8 mass evangelism crusades. And the last one in November, we had over 200,000 people in the capital city. We had 6,000 churches working together, 3,000 buses running, 10,000 volunteers.
That's enough to get the enemy upset, as if churches work together.
That's right.
And I'm talking about our spiritual enemy.
Yes.
You can't not look at this without seeing the spiritual side of it, especially when you go in Central and South America. The spiritual warfare is intense.
Yes, it is.
Brett, we continue to pray for you. Thank you for stopping by to update our listeners and viewers.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Folks, I want to encourage you to pray. This is one of those things that, you know, as Brett said, if we don't lean into this and we don't speak into this, we don't pray into this, who will? Pray, vote, stand. We need to pray. We need to talk to our members of Congress, because I've watched it for years. When you talk to them about things and put it in front of them, they will respond, but they have to hear from you, and they got to hear from a lot of you. So check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Texas Congressman Chip Roy. So don't go away. A lot more Washington Watch straight ahead.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Our word for today comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 22, where David is giving instruction to his son Solomon. It says, "Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper, if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed." Notice the words, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be dismayed. The courage and the call not to fear surround obeying the word of God. It takes courage to obey God and not be intimidated by man. To join us in our journey through the Bible, text the word Bible to 67742. Earlier this month, the House of Representatives passed its version of the National Defense Authorization Act, which included many amendments that course correct the Biden administration's social experiments in the military. But the version in the Senate includes language that would force young women to register for the Selective Service System, which is often referred to as the draft. Now, the outcry from this continues to build as many Republicans sound the alarm against drafting our daughters. Joining me now to discuss this and much more about the social experimentation that's taking place in the Biden Department of Defense is Congressman Chip Roy. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee, the House Rules Committee, and the House Budget Committee. He represents the 21st Congressional District of Texas. Congressman Roy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, good afternoon, Tony. Great to be on. I hope you're doing well.
I am. Before we get to the bad parts of the NDA being advanced in the Senate, I want to congratulate you and your Republican colleagues for the House version and the amendments that it contains. You were able to correct a lot of the mischief and dangerous policies that have been advanced by the Biden administration. So thank you for fighting for those things.
Well, thanks, Tony. And it was a collaborative effort. And I think we put forward a good product. I want to thank the speaker's team, Speaker Johnson's team. We had a great collaborative effort working together to make sure we got a defense bill that takes on the woke social engineering at the Pentagon, the transgender surgeries, all of the stuff there, DEI offices, trying to refocus it, ending the climate executive orders application at the Pentagon, and refocusing it on pay and making sure we have hard assets. So that was a good product. We've now got that out of the House. It's a good bill, one of the better NDAs we've ever passed. So now it's going to be, you know, working it out and getting to conference with the Senate. The Senate has obviously gone a little off the rails, which you would expect with a Schumer-led Senate, but unfortunately with Republican support for things like drafting our daughters.
Yeah, you immediately spoke out against that portion. We've talked about that before. This, and I think people need to understand, this is not the first time they brought it forward, and this is the issue with the left. They never stop. They will continue to come back year after year to push their radical agenda. And it's why we have to draw a clear line saying, no, we won't go there. Tell our viewers and our listeners why you see this as problematic.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's not even just Democrats. There are some Republicans in the Senate who have advanced this as well, and they should be called out for it. I mean, and some of them are friends. I mean, some of them will vote for an NDAA because they feel obliged to do so to support defense. But they're going to do so, and in it is provision that's going to require your daughter. I want everybody listening to just think about this. Your daughter, I'm the father of a 13-year-old girl, to register for Selective Service. And what they will say is, like, don't worry, Chip. They'll never be put into combat, right? But never mind the fact that our entire point of our draft is to go replace our frontline volunteers, the people who sign up to volunteer to serve in the military, to go replace the folks in combat that are going down. You need bodies. That's why it exists. So to say that we're going to have a draft – mandatory Selective Service, and then say that's not going to be required when we have some sort of actual land war with China, is insane and it's contradictory. And if you go look at the standards, we very clearly lower the standards for women in combat, women in the military. There's reports put out and commissioned by the Department of Defense that literally say those standards are not being met. It's not even close. And so now you're going to take not just the women who want to go serve in the military, who are going to be among your stronger, your more athletic, and people who are like, yes, I want to go to West Point. No, no, we're going to be talking about a draft of our 18-year-old, 20-year-old, 22-year-old females, and we're going to go throw them into the military. They say, well, Chip, you know, Israel does this. Now, hold on. Very different, number one. Number two, they often have a public service component. They're not put in combat. Number three, Israel is surrounded and their livelihoods depend on it. And there's a very small number of people there. Number four, I just disagree with the policy, even in Israel. I don't think we should use that as a model. I think we should stand up. We should be fighting this with everything we've got. No Republican should support it. We killed it a few years ago when it was in both the House and the Senate bills. Now we thankfully don't have it in the House, thanks to leadership here listening and working to the whole conference. And I'm going to throw everything I have at trying to kill it, Tony.
Well, I want to zero in for just a moment on one of the arguments they're saying that you made reference to, that, oh, it's not going to happen. We're not going to draft. We're not going to have the draft, but we just need to be fair. We need to. This is number one. It's a part of erasing the gender lines. This is more of that radical ideology. But number two, that's not a true statement that we're not going to have the draft. I feel pretty confident. And I volunteered, went in the Marine Corps as soon as I graduated from high school. If my children, daughters, sons wanted to join, I encouraged my sons. They went a different route into local law enforcement, first responders. My daughter's a first responder. It's not an issue. It's an issue of if they want to go. And I don't think we should be a nation that is dependent upon women having to fight on the front lines. But here's my point. We're having a problem in the military ever since Biden took over of meeting recruiting quotas. Our military has been depleted because of the ideological bent of this administration. People who would have signed up are not signing up. We get into a major conflict, we'll have to have a draft.
Yeah, Tony, you're exactly right. I mean, right now you've got the Assistant Secretary of Defense, I think her name's Kathleen Hicks, coming out and saying, oh, you know, one of our primary objectives we need to do for national security, the strength of our military, is focusing on non-binary members of the military. They can't even tell you the difference between a man and a woman. Do you want your daughter being determined what she's going to have to do based on what those people are doing in the Pentagon and deciding they can't even decide whether there's a man or a woman? Meanwhile, Title IX has been turned on its head, all while they refuse to recognize the difference in the sexes. As you said, this is all about this nonsense where they're trying to remake everything and social engineering and break the back of what we recognize as people of faith,
also just people of common sense that there is a difference between the sexes. Right. I'm going to stand up against it and keep fighting it.
You know, Chip, back when I was in the Marine Corps, I was anti-tank. And so this is back when Russia was a threat. We had flashcards so that we could identify a tank, and we'd have to practice those flashcards. Maybe we need flashcards on male and female so they can understand the difference between the two. Speaking of the military, and I want to get to a moment, corporate America, and I'm going to talk about that. But first, earlier today, or I think it was yesterday, President Biden turned his focus to pardoning military veterans who were convicted of violating Uniform Code of Military Justice for engaging in homosexual behavior. He's pardoning all of them. Now, this while the administration drags its feet regarding many veterans who served honorably who were dismissed over the Pentagon's jab mandate. I mean, how wrong is that?
Well, again, this is about an effort to focus on the social engineering aspect and wokeification of the military rather than a strong military that is designed to blow things up and kill people, which is what a military is supposed to be designed to do. Used sparingly, in my worldview. I don't think we should be out engaged in endless conflicts. But now they're doing this. And those individuals, okay, whatever the policies that have evolved back in, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or long before Don't Ask, Don't Tell, those individuals, men predominantly, knew exactly what the policies were. And part of the whole point of the military code of conduct and how we can handle our military is the honor that is important that you be forthright and honorable in your service. And, you know, when you're lying about it, you're not being. And so that is what it is. And now they were going to do that, but they're not going to go help those people that were saying no to an experimental jab being shunted in their arm. And there's thousands of those individuals. I run into them all the time. It's completely unacceptable. But I do want to say, just for everybody listening, House Republicans have put forward a really good Responsible Defense Authorization Act. We are currently debating this week a really strong defense appropriations bill. I am not one, as you know, to shy away from criticizing even my own Republican colleagues. But we should champion and we should applaud when we're working together as a team to do some good stuff. And as we head into election season, understand the night and day difference between the radical progressive Democrats that want to draft your daughters and remake our military into this social engineering experiment versus Republicans who want a strong, non-woke, divided military that is capable of going out and doing the business of defending the country. And I think that's a clear distinction.
I want to turn to another topic, and that is corporate tax rate. It's currently at 21%. And it's shaping up as a pretty significant political issue. Now, I've been saying this for years, and what I'm hearing from Republicans is kind of music to my ears. You know, for years, the corporate America has been carrying the water for the left in terms of their social policy. And our folks are left to basically pay for it with the profits of the business that they do with these corporations. But every time the corporation wants favorable tax policy, they turn to the Republicans. I think we should leave them to go to the Democrats and live with the Democrats' fiscal policies if they're going to live by their social policies.
Well, you're referring to an issue that has become a little bit of a lightning rod because I was asking, and there's a story in Politico where I said, look, there's no rate that's sacrosanct, and I think everything should be on the table. Now, just for your listeners out there, when the tax reform was put in place in 2017 under President Trump, there were a number of tax provisions, many of which are going to expire next year. So you're going to hear a lot of debate about the tax policy. But the corporate rates were made permanent at 21%. That is a significant reduction with respect to making us competitive globally. I support that generally, as I suspect you do too, Tony. But to your point, I am tired of corporations taking this for granted, tired of corporations going and taking subsidies to go out and enrich themselves, whether it's Obamacare and insurance subsidies or the Inflation Reduction Act, so-called subsidies for the energy policies. I want us to use leverage to force corporations to start being American first, centered on making sure they're delivering products. Drop all this ESG crap. Stop all your woke nonsense where June is like selling me, you know, gay M&Ms or whatever you're trying to do. And just do your job. Now come back and talk to me about a competitive corporate rate. I'm not gonna fight making sure we have competitive tax rates for the good of all Americans. I do believe we need that. But I'm not going to rubber stamp what K Street and what the Chamber of Commerce says when they're not willing to work with us to save America
and to stand up and make America first.
I agree 100%. And I think there are a lot of Americans that agree with that. Now, I think we should focus in on small businesses, the mom and pops that really employ a lot of people and make the local economies hum. In fact, I encourage people to shop at those places as opposed to the big box stores that have values that contradict what we're teaching our children. But for years, we've had these big corporations carrying the policies, the social policies of the left, forcing those on Americans. But then they turn to the Republicans wanting favorable tax policy. So I think your approach of using that as leverage to say, hey, you want a fair playing field, then just do business. If you make widgets, make widgets, and let the left carry their own social policy.
Now, that's exactly right, Tony. I mean, you don't see a lot of local businesses that are putting, like, you know, pride flags in their windows or championing this kind of stuff. Or, you know, when they buy banners at Little League parks, they're not making them, you know, reflect Pride Month. Why? Because that's not what local, you know, businesses do. So, you know, we need to do our part to make sure we have good competitive tax rates. But what I don't want to do is just rubber stamp this stuff and not use it to hold, you know, these big businesses accountable to stand up for America, right? And not take subsidies and sell our souls, you know, for profit, as opposed to, hey, be an American company.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Congressman Chip Roy, final question for you. Back to the NDAA and the fight that you and so many of the conservatives are waging to get our military focused on its mission, and that is to fight and win our wars. How can our listeners and viewers help on this?
Yeah, make sure you reach out to your members of Congress and say how proud you are that those Republicans in the House have sent a good bill that does refocus it, that does get rid of the woke stuff, the DEI, the critical race theory, the transsexual stuff, the abortion tourism, and does not draft your daughters. Make sure that's clear. And ask them to fight to make sure that the product that comes when we go to the Senate and conference, that we do the right thing and stand up and get a bill much closer to the House product. I think you should make sure every member of Congress hears that and tell your senators, don't vote for a defense bill that will draft your daughters. And that's what this is about.
All right. Congressman Chip Roy, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us today and for waging the fight.
Thanks, Tony. God bless.
All right. Again, folks, you need to weigh in and help out those who are fighting for common sense and for the constitutional values and provisions that made this nation strong. Now, let me again go back to the Republican Party platform. I'm going to sound like a broken record for the next few weeks because this is important, as you'll hear in the days ahead. These platforms matter. The parties, 80%+ of the time, they actually follow what is in these party platforms. And so these issues, like I was just talking about with Chip, the religious liberties issue we were talking about earlier, the life issue that we were talking about at the beginning of the program, those issues will be reflected in the party platform. They have been, but there are those that want to either water them down or take them out altogether. Then where do we go? Where do we find a party that's aligned with our values that come from the Bible? You know, folks have worked hard over the years to bring this party in alignment, to give us a vehicle to engage in the process. Help us keep it that way. Text the word LIFE to 67742. That's LIFE to 67742, and you can find out how. All right, I want to thank you for joining us today. Be sure and check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and share Washington Watch with your friends. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.